out there? Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah, same. Same over at Steadfast. All right, well, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. Thank you for coming. You'll turn in your hymnals to song 187, Jesus Loves Me, 187. 187, Jesus Loves Me, on the first. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Song 187 on the second. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this evening and the opportunity to be in your house. Just pray for all those that are sick. Pray that you'd heal them, both here at Pure Words and also at Steadfast. And just pray that you'd bless the service tonight, that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit, and just give us ears to hear your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for the next song, 131, Christ is All I Need. Simple song, quick song, but a very great truth. Christ is All I Need, 131. 131, Christ is All I Need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified. For me he died on Calvary. That's why I know he loves me so. He's all I need. All right, this time we're going to go through our announcements. Go through our bulletins. Looks like the verse of the week here is Psalm 34:9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Great verse there. If you look on the left side of the bulletin, we have our service times. Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 5:30 p.m., and every Thursday, we'll have our Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Churchwide soul winning times, Brother James Perry runs two Sunday and Thursday, and Brother Mo Mahoney runs the Saturday time at 10 o'clock. Please remember to turn in your soul winning maps to the back bin on the wall back there. And also, we have our end-of-year stats. So it looks like Pure Words Baptist Church had 687 salvations for the year, which that is excellent. That's great work. And last year, or 2020, it was 593. So broke the record. Great job. Keep up the great work soul winning in the next year. Be in prayer for our expecting lady of the church, Corrine Darnell. And, of course, also Steadfast as well. That list is always full for our church. So if you wouldn't mind keeping them in prayer as well. Our upcoming guest preachers on this Sunday, Brother Duncan Urbanek will be preaching from Fort Worth. And also the Sunday, looks like two Sundays after that, Brother Ben Naim from Fort Worth will also be preaching. We do have our prayer requests there. Brother Ed and Brother Yair are asking for prayer for family and health. And then just one announcement of upcoming events. On January 16th, Brother Tanner Furr from Steadfast, Oklahoma, is going to be being ordained as an evangelist. And he's been doing a really great job up there. And so if you want to make the trip and support Brother Tanner, January 16th. Otherwise, it'll be on live stream and everything like that. You guys can check it out. But that's really it for our announcements this evening. If you'll turn to your third song, 155, Doxology. 155, Doxology. We'll sing it two times through. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, at this time we'll have the reading of Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10.
There in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, the Bible reads, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich set in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. He that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, he do not whet the edge. Then must he put to more strength, but wisdom profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are precious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and the princes eat in due season for strength. And not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and a wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curseth not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and the which hath wings shall tell the matter. Have a quick word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being here, Lord. We thank you for blessing us and thank you for your word and mercy and your grace. Lord, we pray that you come again to those who are sick and help them So, brother, dealing with your Holy Spirit, help him to speak boldly and accurately your word, and help us to minimize distractions, and help us to be attentive, to be edified by your word. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. All right, well, first I want to thank Pastor Shelley for sending me down here and the opportunity to preach to you guys. And I'm glad that you guys were the few that were spared from this illness. You know, you could just, when everyone gets back, you could just tell them you're more godly, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell them that. But glad that you guys made it. It's the same thing at Fort Worth last night. Very small crowd. But so whatever's going around is definitely very contagious. So glad you guys are doing okay. We're here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And the verse I want to focus on in Ecclesiastes 10 is verse 18, where the Bible reads, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through." And the title of my sermon this evening is Laziness. Laziness. And when we look at this verse, we see that when someone is lazy or when someone's slothful, it causes their building to decay, their house to fall through. Basically, it causes things to fall apart. In this world, everything is falling apart. And if you're lazy, you're really just going to expedite that process. Everything in this world is decaying, and what science calls this is the second law of thermodynamics. But really, science did not discover this fact that everything is decaying, because the Bible actually teaches this. In Hebrews chapter 1, if you'll flip there really quick to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And basically, the second law of thermodynamics states that everything is decaying and losing energy. The Bible backs that up. In Hebrews 1:10, it says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands." But then it says this, "They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." So the Bible teaches that this world, the creation, it's waxing old. It's getting old. It's losing its strength. And basically, that's the same thing that the second law of thermodynamics is teaching, that everything's falling apart. But when we saw that verse in Ecclesiastes, it says, by slothfulness, it causes the building to decay. By idleness of hand, it causes the house to drop through. Basically, everything's always decaying and getting worse. And if we're not working hard at maintaining that, it's just going to deteriorate on its own if we don't act upon it. Now, obviously, it's a very obvious statement to say that God does not want us to be lazy. Go to Romans chapter number 12. But just to lay a foundation before I get into the sermon, that God obviously does not want us to be lazy. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So the Bible describes it as reasonable to literally sacrifice your body. So God expects you to give him your all of your life force, even up to the point of literally sacrificing your body. The Bible says that that is completely reasonable. That doesn't sound like laziness to me. If you're sacrificing your body to serve God, that's like the opposite of laziness. That's just like laying it all on the line. But later on in the chapter, it says this in verse 10. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." So obviously, God does not want us to be lazy. God does not want us as a church to be slothful, but rather fervent in spirit, that we want to work hard for the Lord. And at the beginning of a new year, it's a great time to examine ourselves and see if we have any laziness in our lives, because every single person, myself included, has and will struggle with the sin of laziness for the rest of their life. Why? Because we have the flesh, and our flesh enjoys sitting around. Our flesh enjoys being lazy. That's why we have to have sermons like this to remind us to work hard. And tonight, basically, what I want to do is I want to give 6 practical statements to be able to test yourself to see if there's any laziness in your life, because when we sometimes it's very easy for us to identify sin in other people and not in ourselves. And so the sermon tonight is going to be very practical. I'm going to make a statement and basically just try to think if that applies to you. If one of or more of these statements apply to you, then obviously you have a weak spot in your life. And hopefully in the next year, you can tune that up and be a hardworking Christian if you're not already. So number 1, how can we tell if a person is lazy? How can I examine my life and say, okay, is there something in my life that is tending towards laziness? How can I figure that out? Well, number 1, if you go to Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs 19, if you make a habit of oversleeping, you're lazy. If you make a habit of oversleeping, you are lazy. Look at Proverbs 19:15. It says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul
shall suffer hunger. So the state of being slothful, what does it do? It casts into a deep sleep. And so laziness begets more laziness. Sleep begets more sleep. Someone who is being slothful, what's it going to do? It's going to cause them to be really tired. And you see one thing very common with lazy people is they sleep all the time. You know, we go soul winning at 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and people are upset at us sometimes for waking them up at those times. And it's like, okay, you're lazy. Slothfulness casts it into a deep sleep. And notice, I didn't say you're lazy if you ever sleep in. I said if you make a habit of oversleeping. Because obviously, there's seasons of life where you're burning the midnight oil and you're working really hard, and you should allow yourself to sleep in every once in a while for your health. But I'm saying if it's a habit where every day you're sleeping in, and all the time you're oversleeping, the Bible says that that's slothfulness. Now look at Proverbs 26. Flip over to Proverbs 26, verse 14. But there's kind of this paradox with the previous verse that we just read, because we just read that slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. So lazy people, they sleep a lot, right? But then look at this in Proverbs 26, 14. It says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. So this is kind of saying the opposite, that the lazy person can't sleep. And why is that? Well, think about it. If you're sleeping all day and you're waking up super late, you're sleeping in, then when it's time to actually go to bed at normal person hours of going to bed, you're just going to be tossing and turning, or you're just going to be up on your phone or up playing video games. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, some of my fellow teammates on my baseball team, once it was summer break, I mean, they're staying up till 3, 4, 5, and they're waking up at 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon. And it's like, that's insane. What are they doing? They're being lazy. They're just playing video games all day. They're not working hard. They're not engaging their mind. And so when it's evening, when it's the time that normal people go to bed, they're just turning upon their head like a door on hinges. Laziness. Go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And that's a question that you'd be asking someone that's lazy because they're always sleeping. Look at verse 10. It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Notice, a person who just indulges in a little too much sleep, a little too much slumber, this is not saying that they're even going overboard. It's saying that even just a little bit of this will cause poverty to come upon them. And this is true physically and spiritually. People that oversleep, they're late to work, they miss their job, and they come to poverty. Well, there's a lot of Christians even that are asleep on the job, and it's time to go soul winning, and they're not there. They're not going soul winning on a regular basis. They're not reading their Bible like God commanded. They're not praying. They're sleeping as a Christian, and poverty will come upon them. On the day when the judgment seat of Christ happens and you stand before God and your works are nothing because you're poor spiritually. Why? Because you love sleep. And so you don't want to be lazy in either sense, whether physically or spiritually. Look at Proverbs chapter number 10. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 6. It says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And so being lazy, and we're specifically talking about oversleeping, is going to affect you even on your job, because the person that sends them is talking about someone's boss, somebody's lord. And think about it. We've already learned that lazy people, they sleep a lot, they sleep in a lot, they stay up all night. Well, you know what that's going to cause to happen is it's going to cause you to always be late to your job. And have you noticed in the jobs that you've worked in the past that the people who are always late are always lazy? It's not a coincidence. But look, it's like smoke to the eyes of your boss when you're lazy. Why? Well, probably because you're coming in late all the time. And then you're lazy once you're there on the job. I'll read for you Proverbs 20:13. It says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. So this is not something that comes naturally. The Bible's having to exhort us, saying, don't love sleep. Open your eyes. Why? Because you want to love sleep. You want to just keep your eyes closed. You want to stay in bed all morning. But, you know, the Bible records consistently that men of God woke up early in the morning. You just search the term arose early in the morning or rise early in the morning. You know, that phrase happens a lot in the Bible, and you'll see it's men of God rising up early. That's a really common thing. And even secular people understand this. I want to read for you a list of successful people that wake up early. And I'm not saying these guys are good or godly or anything like that, But I'm just saying they understand this principle of not loving sleep, of not oversleeping, and that's partly why they're really successful people. Apple CEO Tim Cook wakes up every day at 3:45. 3:45 a.m. It's not like, oh, well, it's Saturday, so we'll sleep until 10. No, he's just every day, 3:45 a.m., this guy wakes up. Elon Musk, he goes to bed every day at 1 a.m. You're thinking, oh, is Elon Musk lazy? He's staying up till... But he wakes up at 7 a.m. So he's like going to bed at 1 a.m. and waking up at 7 a.m. It's like barely sleeps. He says that he operates best on 6 to 6.5 hours of sleep. It's like, well, okay, he's obviously not a lazy person, you know? The AOL CEO, Tim Armstrong, wakes up every day at 5 a.m. The Square CEO and former Twitter CEO, Jack Dorsey, wakes up every day at 5:30 a.m. to meditate and go for a 6-mile jog. That's intense, you know? And you wouldn't expect that from the guy that looks like a white terrorist, you know, this little neck beard coming out. The Starbucks CEO, Howard Schultz, is in his office every day by 6 a.m. So that means he's probably waking up around 5 a.m. or something like that. And so I didn't read you that list to tell you, you got to wake up at 3:45 or you're not right with God. You got to wake up at 5 a.m. or you're not right with God. But what I'm showing you is that successful people, they don't oversleep. And they definitely don't make a habit of oversleeping if they do occasionally. And, you know, you got to think every person's schedule is different. Every person's job is different. You know, if you're up with a newborn 5 times a night, like my wife is, it's like, yeah, you're not waking up at 4 a.m. every day. This is not how it works, okay? But you got to look at your own life and say, you know, am I making a habit of oversleeping? Am I late to work? If you're late to work, the answer is yes. You do have a habit of oversleeping. So are you a lazy person? Well, do you make a habit of oversleeping? Number two, go to Proverbs 20. Here's a way to tell if you're a lazy person. If you have a habit of making excuses for why you can't do something. Lazy people, not only do they have a habit of sleeping in too much, loving sleep, but they also have a habit of constantly making excuses for why they can't achieve something or why something can't be done, why there's always an obstacle. Look at verse number 4 of Proverbs 20. It says, the sluggard, the lazy person, will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. So the sluggard, you know, he lives in Houston, Texas, and he's like, oh, it's 70 degrees. This is too cold. I can't plow today, you know. He makes that excuse, right? And then the guy that lives in northern Alaska, he comes out and it's 70 degrees, and he's like, oh, it's too hot. I can't work today, right? There's always people that are going to give an excuse of why something can't be done, even if it's something as simple as the weather. People will literally just use the weather to say why they can't work. Even though God commanded us to work 6 days, men should be working 6 days a week. You know, people will just make excuses for everything. And you know this if you've gone soul winning any length of time. It's like, oh, you know what? Sorry, I'd love to come to your church. I don't have a car. And it's like, okay, well, I can give you a ride. And it's like, I got a new cat. He's back there. I got to go. And it's just like, hey, what is that person? They're lazy. They don't really want to come to church. They're telling you that they do, but really they're just making an excuse of why they can't do it. It's really because they don't want to. It's really because they're lazy. And honestly, us as Christians, we have the same flesh that they do. And Christians do the same exact thing. It's like, how often do you hear people, you know, explain why they don't have time to read their Bible? You know, it's like, oh, I'm a mom, therefore I don't have time to read my Bible. It's like, I'm pretty sure God's will was for you to be a mom. I'm pretty sure it's God's will for ladies to take care of kids. And I'm pretty sure he also wants you to read your Bible. So I don't understand how that excuse works, right? Or, you know, oh, I'm just working too many hours. And it's like, well, you have your priorities mixed up because reading God's word is way more important than working all the overtime, you know? But people will give all sorts of excuses. I saw a funny picture I posted on my Instagram, and it was like the why I can't read my Bible starter pack. And it showed like a guy on Netflix, a guy playing video games, like a girl taking pictures of her food and all these things. And it's like, those are excuses. There is no reason why Christians should not be reading their Bible. It's something God commanded. You know, and he wouldn't command us something that's just not possible for us to do, especially something so rudimental as reading the Bible. But this is the key truth that I want you to understand about people that make excuses, is that lazy people, they make excuses. Successful people, they have all the same excuses that they could give, but they choose rather to overcome those obstacles. The person that says, I can't go soul winning because I'm too tired. Well, the person that goes soul winning, guess what? He's tired too. The person that says, I don't have enough time to read my Bible. Okay, the person that actually reads their Bible, they have a busy schedule too. The person that just makes an excuse for anything. You know, it's too cold outside. There's the guy that won't go out and plow because it's too cold outside. And then there's the guy that throws on the Carhartt, throws on the beanie, throws on the work boots, and is out there plowing in the cold. Now, they both could give the same excuse, but what's the difference? Well, a mindset is the difference. And so excuses, God does not accept excuses. You know, your boss is not going to accept excuses. The Lord does not accept excuses. Giving an excuse, all it does is it just shows that you have a weak spot in your life of laziness. You're always giving excuses. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 13. Here's a funny excuse. Proverbs 22, 13, it says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." Now, this is just a funny excuse to me, because I'm picturing this. I'm picturing a person saying this, you know, "Hey, why aren't you at work right now?" And he tells his boss, you know, "There's a lion outside." Well, my first question would be like, okay, is the lion like right outside your door? Or is the lion just kind of like at large in the city? You know what I mean? Like, because these are two very different things. And if he's out your door, you know, why don't you have a 44 Magnum? This is America here. This is Texas. Why don't you take care of the lion? What's going on here, right? And when I lived in Boise, Idaho, I remember it would always make really big news if there was ever like a black bear that wandered down the mountain and came into city limits. It happened from time to time where I lived. Or a wolf was in city limits, or a mountain lion, or something like that. It always make big news, right? But here's what's funny. Whenever there was a bear in Boise, Idaho, you know what I never saw? I never saw a bear. You know what I never saw? I never saw a wolf. Because, okay, somewhere out there, there's a lion. Somewhere out there, there's a bear. But it's like, I'm just going to strap my 44 mag on and just go to work. And if I meet the bear, if I meet the lion, then I'll take care of it then. But look, unless that lion's literally right outside your door, you know, that's not a valid excuse at the moment. And like I said, if it's at your door, take care of business, okay? It's just such a funny thing to think about. But what does it mean? What's the lesson from that? When there's a will, there's a way. If you want to get to work, if you want to accomplish something in your life, if you want to do something for God, there's going to be excuses, but are you going to just give up once an excuse comes? Because that's what lazy people do. Let's see. Are you a lazy person? Number one, do you make a habit of oversleeping? Number two, you have a habit of making excuses. Number three, here's how you can tell if someone's lazy: if you waste what you've been given. If you waste what you've been given. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. It says, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." So these are similar type of people. The lazy person, he's brother to the person that wastes a lot. And like I said, if you think back in your own life of people that you've worked with that you thought were really lazy, they probably wasted a lot of time. They probably wasted a lot of material. They probably wasted a lot of tools and ran through a lot of the company's supplies and things like that. Why? Because a lazy person's trying not to work. And so they're going to waste time and material and all these things so that they don't have to work. And you know, you want to really make your boss mad, waste all the company's stuff. You know, the boss isn't lazy. The boss works really hard to start a business, to put all of his time and energy and capital into a business, you know, putting all his money into his tools, and then he hires, you know, the slothful man and sees him just wasting his goods, you know, that's going to make him really mad. That's going to make, you know, husbands really mad when the husband goes and works really hard, tries to provide for the family, you know, he brings home the bacon, and the wife makes dinner and, like, can't even be bothered to put it in the fridge, or the kids can't even be bothered to eat it. It's like, this is called wasting, and this is going to make your authority mad. It's the same thing with God. God is also going to be mad. I'll read for you Proverbs 12, you can turn to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 12, 27 says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. So think about this. If a slothful man goes hunting and he successfully kills an animal, he's going to let that animal just sit there and rot and not eat it, not use it for any sort of productive purpose, but rather he's just going to let it sit there. And it says, the substance of a diligent man is precious. So someone who's a hard worker, they care about the things that they have. They value the things that they have much more highly than the lazy person. Now, admittedly, you know, processing an animal is a lot of work. Have any of you guys ever processed an animal? Yeah, I'm sure you have, exactly. It takes a lot of work, right? You know, after you get the kill hunting, it's like, yeah, I got a kill. And then it's like, oh, man, this is like, here comes the next several hours, right? You got to carry the thing out and everything. It takes a lot of work. But look, if you want that nice fillet, if you want that nice backstrap after the end of the hunt, you know what you got to do? You have to process it. You have to roast it. You have to work hard to get that. But the lazy person, he just lets it go to waste. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Again, both the lazy person and the productive person, they both have desires. They both have things that they want. But notice the sluggard, they have that desire, but they end up having nothing. Why? Because they're lazy. And so if we think about this spiritually, there's a lot of great things that God has given us. God's given us a family. God's given us a church. And he doesn't want us to waste the things that God has given us, that God has entrusted with, our children. You know, God's given us children, and he doesn't want you to just be lazy in raising those children, just slothful in raising those children, but rather realizing, hey, you know, the substance of a diligent man is precious. These children that God's given me are precious, and I'm going to work very hard to take care of them. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll get the parable of the talents, where the Lord basically has three servants. He gives to one man five talents, and then he brings back five talents more. To another, he gives two, brings two more. And then to another servant, he gives one, and that servant just buries it in the earth, is lazy, and doesn't do anything with it. Well, look at verse 24. It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. So there's that excuse, right? Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. So we see the same thing, making excuses. Now, in verse 25, it says, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. So he's wasting his master's good. He's not being productive with the time that his master has entrusted him to take care of his things. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And here's the scary truth you have to understand, and why it's so important to not be lazy, to work hard, to value the things that God has given us, is that in this parable, the person that has, the person that worked hard, the person that gained the talents for their master, what happens to them? They get more. And so just like a Christian, if God's blessed you with something, like we already talked about, a church, friends, family, health, children, all of these things, if you take care of that, if you value that and you work hard at being a steward of God, well, then God's just going to give you more. And then the Christian life gets better and better, and God gives you more and more and more blessings. But on the contrary, if God gives someone a blessing and they waste it and they're lazy and they make excuses and they waste what God's given them, then God takes it away, gives the blessing to someone else, and that person has less. And that's a scary thing. We should always be in the fear of the Lord, that at any time God can take away all the blessings that God has given us. And also God can immediately bless us at any time too if we're faithful to him, if we work hard. But that's a very real truth that we have to get deep into our hearts, that God can take anything away from us at any time if we decide to be slothful, if we decide to make excuses, if we decide to waste what God's given us. So are you a lazy person? Well, do you make a habit of oversleeping? Do you have a habit of making excuses? Do you waste what you've been given? Number four, go to Genesis chapter number 3. It says, if you live on government handouts when you're able-bodied, you are lazy. Now, this is sadly becoming an epidemic in our country. Even right here in Houston, every time I leave the building, I go under the little underpass over there, and it's the same 40-something-year-old dude that's always sitting there. He's got his whole tent and everything set up, and he's just real happy living his life, being homeless. He's not trying to get a job. He's not trying to be productive in his life. He's just completely staying as a bum. Why? Because he's not working. He's living on government handouts. Otherwise, how is he alive? I mean, no. If he's not working, if he's not getting money somehow, he's getting it from somewhere. Look at Genesis 3, verse 17. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so since the very, very beginning, God has ordained man to work by the sweat of his face, to cause the earth to bring forth its fruit And the earth is cursed, so Adam has to put work into the earth. He's got to till it. He's got to take care of it in order to be able to provide for himself and for his family. It's only a new invention that people are in our country are literally able to survive without working, and sometimes not only survive, but sometimes literally make more money on welfare than they would working. There's actually a huge labor shortage right now in the United States. You look at any single business. I mean, I see all the time hiring signs. Why is that? Well, because ever since the coronavirus pandemic's happened, the government handouts have just been flowing from the United States. They're giving monthly checks. They're giving all sorts of increased unemployment benefits to where a lot of people who are working like a service job, a regular just entry-level job, they're actually getting paid more by the government to sit at home than to go to their job. And so, of course, people are taking the government up on that and doing nothing. But this is a curse on our nation, because our nation is just rapidly breeding lazy people. And having a bunch of lazy people around is not a good thing. Because like we read at our opening text, a bunch of lazy people, what did they do? They just destroy everything. The house drops through. And right now, our country looks like it's about to drop through, right? I mean, our country is just insane right now. Do you think that in Russia and in China, there's 20-year-old men begging for food on the side of the road? Do you think the government is just paying them to literally just sit at home and play video games? No, rather, China's like banning video games, right? So all these other nations, even just from a national security perspective, having all of these government handouts is a curse on our nation. This is not something that God wants. But if someone lives off government handouts and they're an able-bodied person, that person for sure is lazy. Now, I don't think there's anyone in this church or at Fort Worth even that's living like that, but it's just something to realize, like, if you see that person, that 20, 30, 40-year-old on the side of the road that's able-bodied and begging for money, look, that person is lazy. That person's not just down on hard times. You know, it's pretty easy to tell usually, excuse me, it's pretty easy to tell usually the guy that actually needs help, he's got, like, no legs and a patch on his eye. It's like, okay, this guy might need some help. But the guy that is my age, looks like me on the side of the road, you know, it's a horrible thing to see. 2 Thessalonians 3, you'll go there, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, it says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." Now, a lot of people don't understand what this is talking about when it says walking disorderly. I've seen preachers just say that anytime someone preaches something bad or says something bad that, oh, they're walking disorderly now. No, the Bible's actually going to explain to us what it means to walk disorderly. It says, "And not after the tradition which he received of us," verse 7, "for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." So the Apostle Paul was literally working 2 full-time jobs and only taking a paycheck from one. This is the exact opposite of the person that's living off welfare who's able-bodied. Paul's doing actually more work. He's doing 2 full-time jobs, only getting paid from one. He was a hard worker. Verse 9, "Not because we have not power." He's saying, look, I could have been taking a check for my role as an evangelist, but "to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." It doesn't sound like Paul has a lot of pity here for lazy people. He's saying, like, I'm working 2 jobs here. I'm only getting paid for one of them, and I could have been being paid for 2. So here's the thing. If someone's just not working at all around you guys, neither should he eat. He shouldn't even be alive, basically. He's saying you should literally starve to death if you're a man and you're not working. I mean, that'd be a hard saying for a lot of people in the United States to hear today, to say that these bums on the side of the road that are just purposely not working, that they should literally starve to death. But that is what the Bible says. And that's not coming from a hypocrite. That's coming from a man that's working 2 full-time jobs. So he has every right to lay this down in the Word of God. Verse 12, it says, "Now them that are such," so the people that don't work, "we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." I love that phrase, "with quietness." Because the people that don't work, the people that are lazy, you know what they always want to do? They always want to tell you a big story. They just want to tell you this big sob story of why they're in that position. But Paul's just saying, hey, shut your mouth. Just with quietness, just work with your own hands. Just stop the excuses, right? And all the time, there's been people that have come up to Steadfast at all strange hours of the day and night. And I've talked to some of these people, and I'm like, you know, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just got dropped off in Fort Worth. I was like, from where? And he's like, oh, man, I don't know. I was just on the freeway. And it's just like, what in the world? And they start telling you just this weird, bizarre story. Makes no sense whatsoever. And you want to know why it makes no sense? Because it's not true. It's just some story. You know, you ever had someone just come up to you at the gas station? Hey, my grandma's sister just died, and I need to get to Kentucky. It's just like, okay, just with quietness, just work and eat your own bread, buddy, because I'm not buying your story. You're a liar. The Bible says that if you don't work, you shouldn't even eat. So I love that phrase. With quietness, they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. He's saying, hey, you guys don't have this problem. You guys are working hard. And don't become weary in the well-doing that you're doing. Don't stop working hard. Don't be like these people. Verse 14, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, so if someone's not taking heed to this doctrine, if they are going to be lazy, if they're not going to work, it says, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. And I have seen in church before someone who's not working, that's gone around the church and given their sob story to everyone, that's mooched off of people, and I have seen that person kicked out of church because they did not get a job. And guess what? That is biblical. That is biblical because someone that's doing that, we're supposed to note them and have no company with them. Why? So that they'll be ashamed. So that hopefully the sting of getting kicked out of church or at least having their company separated from the brethren would make them feel bad. And they should feel bad. That's the whole point. That they feel bad, not just so that they feel bad, though, but so that they get it right. And so that they get a job and become productive and not be lazy. Because like we saw, lazy people, what do? The house drops through. They destroy everything. They destroy church. They destroy their own lives. We can't have people like that around us. And it's for their own good to inflict punishment on them for being lazy. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. I'll read for you 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The Bible's saying, look, even an infidel, even an unbeliever, even someone who's not saved, you know what they do? They provide for themselves and they provide for their family. I mean, how many unsaved coworkers do you have where they're providing for their family just fine? They're doing that. And so what a shame when a Christian is not doing that. You're saying, hey, you're worse than even an unbeliever, because even unbelievers are able to do that. So if you want to ask yourself, you know, am I lazy? Do I have any aspects in my life that is laziness? Well, number one, do you make a habit of oversleeping? Number two, do you have a habit of making excuses? Number three, do you waste what you've been given? Number four, do you live on welfare when you're able-bodied? Number five, if the only time you're productive is when you're told to be, then you're lazy. If the only time that you're working is when someone's riding you and telling you what to do, and that's the only time you're productive, then you are a lazy person. If you have to be literally micromanaged and watched in order to do anything in life, that shows you have no initiative and that you are a lazy person. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Let me get there myself here. Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and look at verse 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. The Bible talks about this creature called the ant, and this ant doesn't have to have a boss to tell it to go provide food, to go and build its houses, to go and do all the things that ants do to survive. There's not an ant boss, you know, constantly riding them, constantly whipping them. There's not mom and dad constantly, you know, telling the little kid ants what to do. Ants just work hard, right? And that's why the Bible is exhorting us to go to the ant and to learn this principle. But you know, there's a lot of people that literally, they will not do any work unless their boss is telling them each and every step to do for the entire day. And as soon as the boss leaves the workshop or as soon as the boss leaves the construction site, everyone's done working. Everyone's completely done. Or same thing sometimes with a family. You know, maybe a wife is just one of these ladies that just sits on the couch and watches, you know, Oprah all day or something like that. And her husband has to be like, okay, did you feed the kids? Have you read the Bible? You know, have you done the homeschool for the kids? It's like, no, a woman should be working hard without her husband having to be down her neck like that. Same thing with children. You know, when obviously your tasks are going to vary all the time, and so your parents are going to have to give you new instructions saying do this today, do that today. But there's certain things that your parents tell you to do that you know are going to happen every single day. You know, if one of those things is take out the trash, at that point, you should just be taking out the trash without being asked to do it, right? Because you learn that now at a young age, then once you're in the job site, you can be that productive worker that's just seeing issues, getting things done, and the boss doesn't have to waste all of his time making sure that you know each and every menial task that needs to be accomplished. You know, I worked for about a year for a government municipality in the state of Oregon doing, paving and road maintenance and all these different things. And I had a really great crew leader that loved to work hard, and I was very happy to be on his crew. But I noticed if my crew leader was sick and we got a different boss for whatever reason, this guy was extremely lazy. So you have the crew leader, which is kind of like the underboss, and then you have the shift supervisor, who's the main boss. Well, if I had the lazy crew leader, he would have us do this thing called hot spotting. So basically our job for the day was to go fill potholes throughout the city, right? And if I'm on the good crew, then our boss is running us the entire time. We're filling tons of potholes. But if we had the lazy shift lead, basically what he would do is he'd have us fill two or three potholes, and then he'd say, okay, go hotspot, which basically means drive your taxpayer-funded government truck around the city all day for the rest of the day, doing absolutely nothing. He says, because a moving truck is a working truck. No, none of the citizens are going to call us in and complain that the city's sitting there doing nothing. And it's like, that's a wicked thing to do. That's a wicked thing to do, to just take people's money, take people's tax money, and then just drive around the city pretending to be working. Now, that's someone that will not be productive unless their boss is on them, unless someone's overseeing them, telling them exactly what to do. It's like, okay, you need to do exactly 70 potholes today. And if you don't tell him that, then he's going to do one or two that he could fill in, and he could write, oh, it took hours and hours to do these really, you know, intricate potholes or whatever, when really we filled them in a couple hours and then just the rest of the day drove around doing absolutely nothing. It's horrible. And obviously, I'm the new hire. I'm the guy on probation. And I was like, okay, I'll just do what I'm told at the time. But obviously, it was not fun. And I felt bad about it. It's like, this does not feel right. And of course, because it's not right, right? And so make sure you're not that type of person that's just unable to work without being overseen. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read for you, verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. What's eye service? Well, it's basically like you're constantly looking around, making sure like, okay, I'm in the sight of the boss. I'm within eyeshot of the boss. Okay, let me make sure I'm going to start working. As soon as he's gone, back to doing nothing. No, we shouldn't be like that. Rather, we should be working unto Christ, whose eyes are always on us. God always sees if we're working. God always sees if we're being lazy. Verse number 6, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And some people get frustrated because maybe they work a job where they do a lot of menial tasks, a lot of things that they consider not important. But I love this next verse, verse 8. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So if you're working hard, if you're doing your job as a mother, if you're doing your job as a dad, raising your kids, if you're doing your secular job, or if you're working unto the Lord, no matter what you're doing, whatever good thing you do, whether you're bond or free, the Lord is going to reward that. So if it's something as simple, you think, oh, you know, cleaning the church, that's not a very glorious task, but is it a good thing? Is it a good thing to do? Absolutely. Well, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's restocking the soul winning supplies. It doesn't matter if it's cleaning the church. It doesn't matter if it's leading a song or running a live stream or doing any type of work for the church or any type of work at all for the Lord. The Bible says if it's good, then you're going to be rewarded for that. It's not like you have to be a pastor in order to get rewards in heaven for your work. It's not like you have to preach a sermon only. That's the only thing you can get rewards for. No, you can get rewards for any good thing that you do. And to me, that's a very encouraging verse. So last thing here, how can you tell if you're a lazy person? Number one, you make a habit of oversleeping. Number two, do you have a habit of making excuses? Number three, do you waste what you've been given? Number four, do you live on welfare when you're able-bodied? Number five, is the only time you're productive when you're told to be? Last thing here, if you turn to Proverbs 24, you can tell someone's lazy if They or the things that they own are always dirty and unorganized. If someone's always dirty, if someone's always filthy, or the things that they own are always filthy and unorganized, that is a lazy person. I'll prove it to you. Proverbs 24, look at verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Just picture, you know, the most ghetto neighborhood possible in Houston right now, okay? What are you going to see? And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. So you're soul winning in the ghetto, and what do you see? You go up to some shack, and it's overgrown with thorns. All their fences and their stone has just all been knocked down. There's just nettles everywhere. You know, the guy opens the door, and you're immediately hit with his BO. He can barely walk because he's so fat. He's got Mountain Dew bottles everywhere, cigarettes everywhere. His carpet looks like it's never been vacuumed one single time. There's smudges all over the wall. You're hit with just the smell of death when he opens. Why? Because he's lazy. That is the picture that the Bible is pointing. You go to the house of a slothful person, and it's like everything's just disheveled and in a mess. And why is that? It's because they are lazy. And so, you know, don't make a habit of constantly being dirty and unorganized. You see a lot of lazy young guys, and it's like, oh man, I'm looking for a wife. And it's like, shower, bro. Shower. Ladies don't like to smell your BO. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to be lazy like that, or, you know, you show up, oh man, this, I remember this. So my first job out of high school was as a valet. And basically, you park people's cars, which it sounds real fun, but I did it at a hospital. So it's like, yeah, okay, the doctor's cars were cool, and some of the nurses' cars were cool, but it's like, some of the patients that come in, not so cool. And I remember this one that came in, just extremely, just morbidly obese woman, gets out of her minivan, and I get in her car, and it's like, again, just that death smell of BO. I look around, and there's literal piles of food just stacked up to the ceiling. I'm not even kidding you. There was an opened pack of hot dogs. Raw, just an open pack of hot dogs in the summer, just cooking in her minivan. Just horrible smell. I got in, I just hold my breath, and I drive like a quarter mile away to where our parking lot is, holding my breath the entire time and get out and just like dead. But it's like, you should look at that and think, okay, I don't want to be like that person. I do not want to make some poor valet kid suffer through my laziness because everything's just disheveled and destroyed, and you can't ever have anyone over to your house because it's so dirty, and you can't even be around people and them enjoy your company because you stink so bad. Look, these are not pleasant and nice things to tell people, but sometimes you have to tell someone, look, you're being lazy, you need to shower. if you're asking for lady advice, there it is. That's why you can't get a girlfriend, bro, because you need to shower, because you need to present yourself like you didn't just crawl out of bed at 3 p.m. like you probably just did, right? You got to present yourself like you're a hard worker and have yourself clean and have the things that you own clean. Verse 32 says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. He's like, oh yeah, I see that. I'm going to receive some instruction. I don't want to be like that. And that's some pretty easy instruction to receive. You know, if you're a valet at that hospital for a couple weeks, you'll receive that instruction that you don't want to be a dirty, nasty, lazy person like that. Then it says, verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So again, all these things, they're all connected. When you look at a lazy person, you're going to see one, if not several, of these categories where they're hitting the mark, where they're being lazy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll just have this and one more verse that we'll turn to. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says this, and with all they, and the they there is referring to younger ladies, says, and with all they learn to be idle. So these ladies are lazy. And what are they doing? They're wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. So these ladies have a lot of issues right now, and they're like, they're lazy, they're tattlers, they're busybodies, they're wandering about from house to house, and they're speaking things which they ought not. And so what is God's solution to, specifically in this case, a woman that's lazy, a woman that's idle? God gives a solution to this. It says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So we're talking about, this specific point is about how you can tell if someone's lazy if they're always dirty and disheveled? Well, right here in the Bible, we have these lazy women, and God's prescription to this issue is that they get married, have children, and guide the house. So if you walk into a woman's house, and I'm not saying every once in a while thing, okay? But if it's consistently, if her house is always, there's a pattern of her house being dirty, being disheveled, being gross, that means that she is idle. Because in order to cure her idleness, what does she need to do? She needs to get married. That's a lot of work, taking care of one of us, right? That's a problem. Having kids, that's a lot of work, right? And guiding the house, that is plenty of work for a woman to stay busy, to not be idle, to not be a tattler, to not be a busybody, to not be wandering about from house to house. And guess what? There's more than this, too, because this is just her carnal duties. But God also expects ladies, like I said, to read the Bible, to pray, to go soul winning, to go to church, to have a Christian walk themselves. And so if a woman is struggling with idleness, well, how are you going to see that? Her house is always disheveled. Her house is always a mess. Now, don't start, you know, just showing up unannounced to people's houses, right? Because number one, I didn't say if it's ever a mess, you're lazy. I said if it's a habit of being a mess, right? And number two, it's just rude to do that to people anyways. You know, that should never be a culture in this church. You just walk up to someone's house without them knowing, you know, that's a bad thing to do. But, hey, if she takes care of those things, if she's diligent, working hard with children, her marriage, and her house, then she's not going to have much time to be idle. So, in conclusion here, how do you tell if you're lazy? And go to Hebrews chapter number 6 for the last place of the evening. These are some categories that the Bible has clearly spelled out for us where we can look at our lives and say, okay, where am I hitting on this point? Number one, do you make a habit of oversleeping? Number two, do you have a habit of making excuses? Number three, do you waste what you've been given? Number four, do you live on welfare when you're able-bodied? Number five, is the only time you're productive when you're told to be? And number six, are you or the things that you own always dirty and unorganized? So the last thing I want to show you is in Hebrews chapter 6. And this verse is kind of an exhortation because Hebrews 6, the context of Hebrews 6 is God wants us to go on unto perfection. He wants us to leave the basic doctrines of salvation and baptism, and we need to go on unto perfection. It says in Hebrews 6:10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Like I said, every good thing God is going to reward. And when you work, when you have labor of love for other people, like this is talking about, or just ministering to the work of God, God's not going to forget that work. Other people might forget that work. Your spouse might forget that work. Your boss might forget that work. You know, your brothers and sisters in Christ may not notice the work that you're doing. But the Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget our work and our labor of love. Every single work that we do for the Lord, all of the work that we do in our lives, even secularly, all of it, God's not going to forget it. It's not in vain. In all labor, there is profit, the Bible says. In all labor, spiritually, carnally, there's profit in all of it. Because remember, even when you're working carnally, who are you really working for? The Bible says, working unto the Lord. Verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Why? That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And sometimes in life, like I said, we all have the flesh. There's going to be times when all of us feel like being lazy, when we feel like sleeping in, when we feel like making an excuse of why something cannot be done. But if we're not slothful, if we continue with work and with our labor of love, the Bible says that through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, someday, it's hard to just detach ourselves from our busy lives and our everyday tasks that we go through every single day. It's hard sometimes to detach ourselves from the reality that we're in right now to the reality that we one day will be in when you are alone before the Lord Jesus Christ and God is going to examine your works and God is going to see how you did in this life. And all of your, you know, just laziness is going to burn right up. There's nothing to burn. There's no works to burn if you're lazy, right? But the Bible says that through faith and patience inherit the promises. There will be great rewards in heaven for those that work hard. Those that are the hardest working Christians will have the most rewards in heaven. I didn't say pastors will have the most rewards. I didn't say deacons. I didn't say evangelists. I said the hardest working Christians. Could those people be evangelists, deacons, pastors? Yes, absolutely. You know who else it could be? It could be the mom You know who else it could be? It could be the old lady. You know who else it could be? It could be a child that decides, you know, to forsake the vanity of youth and actually serve God in their youth and continue their whole life with work and labor of love and realizing God's not going to forget that. That's always going to be lasting. And someday, when we stand before Christ, you know, through faith and patience, we're going to inherit the promises. We're going to inherit all the fruit of our labor. And so, you know, this is a new year. Examine your life. See if you, you know, miss the mark in any of those categories and just purpose in your heart to say, hey, I'm going to work hard physically and for the Lord in 2022. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for how many both spiritual and carnal truths we can find in it. I pray that Pure Words Baptist Church would be full of people that want to work hard in this world and for you, Lord, and pray that you would just bless us as we go our separate ways tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for our last song, let's see. Our last song will be song 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. Song 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. Song 44, We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. Oh, land of rest for thee I sigh, when will the moment come? When I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest. He bade me cease to roam and lean for succor on his breast till he conduct me home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I sought at once my Savior's side, no more my steps shall roam. With him I'll brave death's chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. God bless. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed.